All right, this evening, if you take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Tonight, we are starting a short series, probably go 4 weeks, on the idea of keys to communication. Keys to communication. You know, communication is essential in life. And usually when there are problems between people, whether it's in a family or in an occupation or even in a church, a lot of times the problems are caused by a lack of communication. Now, people are basically sinners, so sometimes, even when people communicate, there are still problems. But on the other side, a lot of times people can be reasonable, especially people who know Christ as Savior in our church. You know, people are reasonable, but sometimes there's a miscommunication. They don't understand, or they think that you said this or meant this, and the lack of communication is where a lot of difficulties occur. So constantly, I think we need to work at having good communication. And the Bible has a lot to say about communication. We're going to look at principles of communication that come from Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to give you just a little bit of background. When I was a young person, I got to work at a Christian camp, and it was a great experience. One of the greatest parts of working at the camp was the week of staff training at the beginning of the summer. Here were men of God at this Christian camp who had an incredible ability to help us apply the Bible to our lives. One of the sessions at that staff training week was keys to communication. It was a great session. We learned so much. We talked about it all the rest of that summer. Different things would come up, and we'd remind each other about the keys to communication. Well, I went back the next summer and worked at that camp. And that session was so powerful that it was included again the next summer in the staff training week. I went back a third summer, and sure enough, they talked about keys to communication. And I'll tell you, after I heard it a number of times, it began to get ingrained into my thinking. And it helped me through all my different relationships that I've had through life. I think about these often. I don't always succeed at them, but I think about the keys to communication. Well, then I thought, you know, as a youth pastor years ago, I ought to share these with our teenagers. So I did. So what I'm giving you today is something that originally came from somebody else, but it's been in my heart and in my mind for so long that I feel like it's my own. And I hope that you'll adopt it and take it on for your own in the next couple weeks. Keys to communication. And I thought we'd like to learn them together. And they all come from the scripture here in Ephesians chapter 4. But the first key, I have right here a little key. The first key is to be honest. All right, now it's kind of small. I know you probably can't see it from there. But let's say together that key, be honest. Ready? Be honest. One of the keys to having good communication is that we have to be honest. We've got to say what the truth is. Not say things that aren't true, not insinuate things that aren't true. We've got to be honest. The second key to communication is to keep current. Keep current. Can you say that with me? Ready? Keep current. And we'll talk about what that means in the next couple of weeks. But for today, I just want you to get the idea of be honest and keep current. Okay, say them with me. Ready? Be honest, keep current. Okay? The next one's a little bit longer. Attack the problem, not the person. Attack the problem, not the person. A lot of times, communication problems occur because of the way we say something. Maybe there is a problem. It needs to be dealt with, but we don't say it just right, and we end up attacking the person instead of the problem. But the key is, attack the problem, not the person. Say that one with me. Attack the problem, not the person. All right, let's go back. Ready? Be honest. Keep current, attack the problem, not the person. Try it again. Be honest, keep current, attack the problem, not the person. And then the last one, yellow one here, key to communication, act, don't react. Act, don't react. Say it with me. Act, don't react. And I believe that in the next couple of weeks, we can ask the Lord to make these keys to communication real in our lives and make it a part of our thinking. All right, let's try them together. Be honest. Be honest. Keep current. Keep current. Attack the problem, not the person. Attack the problem, not the person. Act, don't react. Act, don't react. I said them without looking because the Lord's worked them into my life in a way that I think has been so helpful, and I pray that He'll do the same for you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You'll use our message tonight to drive home some of these points about the keys to communication. I pray that we'll learn and meditate upon what it means to be honest, and that perhaps You'll put Your finger on some things in our lives where our honesty has not been what it ought to be. And Father, I pray that You change us through it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look down in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Ephesians 4 is a great chapter. If you look up in verse 22, it talks about putting off the old man. We're supposed to put off the old way that we used to live. And then in verse 23, it says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The key to putting off the old way we used to live before we're saved is to think right, to renew our mind. And then in verse 24, we're supposed to put on the new man. Okay, look up here for a minute. So we have the put off, renew, and put on principle. We put off the old man. We renew how we're thinking so that we think like God thinks in the Bible. And then we put on the new man, which is the man that came into your life when you got saved. Okay, you've got the old person still. Even though you're saved, you've still got the old flesh. But we're commanded to put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, start thinking like God thinks, and put on the new man. Well, then the rest of Ephesians 4 applies that principle. And in verse 25, we say, putting away lying. So what are we supposed to put off as part of the old man? Lying. We're going to put that off. That's not going to be a part of our life anymore now that we're saved. Now, it will try to weasel its way in. It'll try to rear its ugly head in our lives. So we're commanded to put it off. In other words, it's going to take some effort on our part. Now, we can't do it in our own strength. We've talked about that issue. We've got to have God's strength. But still, in our thinking, we've got to say, I've got to put off lying. I've got to decide, Lord, I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to say things that are not honest anymore. I want to put off lying. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So now, we say, okay, I put off lying, and I'm going to put on truth, okay? Put off lying, put on truth. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Anybody we come in contact with. Remember, Jesus was asked that question by the man who was trying to justify himself. He knew he was supposed to love his neighbor as himself, and he knew he didn't do very well at it. So he said, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus made clear that your neighbor is anybody that you come in contact with. He made it clear through the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember that? The Samaritan came in contact with this man. He didn't even know him. But he was his neighbor. And he did good to them. So we're supposed to speak truth to our neighbor. Then it gives us the reason why. For ye are members one of another. Of course, the book of Ephesians was especially written to the church, to the Christians there at Ephesus. That's why it's called Ephesians. And he said, you Christians in the church there, you are members one of another. You're not just members of Christ because you're saved. You're not just members of the church because you are counted among them and joined the local church. But you're also members one of another. Because here at our church, we are one body. We are a body of Christ. And just like when one part of your body hurts, your whole body hurts. Don was telling us about ear infections, and it totally lays out his whole body. All right? That's what happens, doesn't it? Your big toe can hurt, and you don't feel like doing anything, do you? You just want to sit at home the whole day because of your big toe. Hey, every member is important. We're members one of another. So we put off lying, we put on truth, and it gives us the reason to renew our thinking, to help us think right about it. We're members one of another. I can't be dishonest to that person because we're members one of another. They're part of me, I'm part of them. We're in this together. We're serving God together here at Bethel Baptist Church. We've got to get along. So the first key to communication is be honest. Be honest. Now, it's funny how we talk sometimes. I remember my years at college were a lot of fun, and I enjoyed being in a Christian college, in a Christian atmosphere, learning things from a godly perspective. But I also enjoyed having fun with Christian roommates. And I remember when my roommates would come back, and of course in college, one of the big topics is, do you have a girlfriend, right? And who's your girlfriend? And hey, did you know about this girl over here? And what about that girl? And, you know, I'm sure the girls did the same thing, you know, in the girls' dorm, talking about the guys and things like that. Well, when the guys would come back to the guys' dorm, and the conversation centered around a certain girl, and they said, well, what do you think about that girl? And they said, she's got a good personality. That was a code word for she's ugly as a dog, okay? They said, well, she's got a good personality. And what that meant was, oh, man, she's not very good looking, all right? It was one of their code words. But you know what? They weren't really being honest about the situation, were they? Maybe they were trying to be kind, and so we'll give them some room there. But they were being honest. You know, ladies, if you come to church and you say, hey, well, what do you think of my outfit? And one of the other ladies says, those are nice shoes. That's a code word, okay? Those are nice shoes. Yeah, but what about the rest of the outfit? All right, we're trying to be positive. Those are nice shoes. But hey, let's be honest, okay? You don't say, you look terrible. I'm not saying that. But it's so important in our lives that we communicate honestly. And without even thinking about it, we just naturally fall into dishonest communication sometimes. So, to be honest, I think there's a couple aspects here. Number one, honest listening. You know, communication is a two-way street. There's the talking part, and there's the listening part. And a lot of our dishonesty occurs not so much in our talking, although that could be a problem, but a lot of times we have dishonest listening. Here's what I mean. Somebody's talking to us, and we assume that we know their thoughts. We're not listening to what they're saying. We're thinking, yeah, well, I know what they really meant by that. They said that they like my shoes, but what they really meant was they didn't like my dress. Or they said nice personality, and they meant that they think I'm ugly or something. See, and we jump to conclusions with things. We don't have honest listening. We don't take people for what they say. Keep your finger in Ephesians 4 if you like. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. On Sunday nights, we'd like to make you turn a little bit more. Let you see some of these verses right from the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here somebody says, well, have a good day. And we think, did he think I'm having a bad day? Why do you say that? Do I look grumpy? What's the matter? Am I not smiling? You know, why do you say have a good day? And we start jumping to all these conclusions when somebody says something to us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. The Bible says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The first part of the verse says, we don't know what's going through another person's head. We don't know their motives. When the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged, I think it's talking about judging people's motives. When you stand back and say, well, I know what he really meant, or I know why she said that, or even maybe we start wondering, I wonder why they said it like that. I wonder what, you know, let's not do that. Let's just have honest listening. Let's take people for what they say. If they say, have a good day, we'll say, well, thank you. You have a good day too. Let's take people for what they say. Sometimes as a pastor, I have to try to figure things out. I don't like to do that. I just want to take you for what you say. If you say, well, pastor, I'm feeling kind of sick, but you don't have to visit. Okay, I'll just take you for what you say and I won't visit. Okay? But if you need a visit, you say, Pastor, I need a visit, and I'll come and see you. All right? I'll just you be honest, and I'll listen honestly. I'll just take you for what you say. And let's have honest listening. Somebody says, are you mad at me? I like to think that if I have a problem with somebody, then I'm going to go and talk to them about it. I'm not going to make them guess, you know, where I'm just kind of avoid them and not talk to them, maybe not shake their hand for a couple weeks and see if they notice and see if they say, hey, are you mad at me? No. If I have a problem, I want to go talk to them. And so if I don't get around and shake your hand or somebody in the church doesn't get by and say, hi, good morning to you, don't start thinking, why didn't they shake my hand? You know what? No, let's just have honest listening. Let's just assume the best and love people. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love thinketh no evil. In other words, we ought to think the best when we love people. We shouldn't be thinking, well, what did they really mean by that? And all these kind of things. Don't assume you know their thoughts. Number two, honest listening means not just waiting your turn to talk. Turn to James chapter 1. Sometimes when somebody else is talking to us, instead of listening honestly, we're miles away. We're not even thinking about what they're saying. We're just waiting for them to stop so we can say what we want to say. We're just waiting our turn to talk instead of really listening to what the person is saying to us. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Hey, we ought to be swift to hear. We ought to be glad to be listening to what other people have to say, and then be slow to speak. Don't always have something that you've got to say. Don't just be waiting to jump in and say your piece. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Number three, let the person speak uninterrupted. Uninterrupted. Proverbs chapter 18 is our verse for this one. Proverbs chapter 18. Let him speak interrupted. This is hard to do sometimes, especially if you're a talkative person like me. Somebody's talking and you're thinking, yeah, okay, but I got to tell them this. But then they keep going. And you're thinking, okay, I got to remember to tell them that. And I'm not listening anymore. And so pretty soon I want to interrupt. I want to say, hey, just a minute. A good listener will let the person speak uninterrupted. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. Here somebody says, hey, let me tell you about this problem I had. You know, I was at home and my family member wasn't listening to me. And then you jump right in and say, well, you know what? And this is what you should do. No, wait a second. Hear them out. Well, why weren't they listening to you? What were you trying to say to them? Hear them out. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it's a folly unto him. Number four, give them your undivided attention. Give them your undivided attention. I had a car mechanic up in Michigan that was excellent at giving undivided attention. I'd come in and he'd be working on a car underneath, and I'd say, hey, Jim, I got my car in here. I brought it in for you. I got a problem. He said, just a minute. And he'd roll out from under the car, and he'd stand up, and he'd look me in the eye, and he'd say, okay, what's going on? And he would look right at me and listen to what I was saying the whole time. I don't know that I communicate. I don't know a lot about cars. I probably couldn't explain very well what it was. But he gave his undivided attention. And I learned something from that. I thought, you know, there's a guy that knows how to make somebody feel important because he's listening to what I have to say. Give your undivided attention. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we're double-minded, we're thinking about what they're saying, kind of, but we're also thinking about something else at the same time. That's not best. Okay, we need to have honest listening. And then turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Honest listening, number 5, is making sure you really understand. And then sometimes clarify with some questions. Make sure you really understand. And then clarify with questions. At the end of John chapter 7, all the way down to verse 51... The Bible says, doth our law judge any man before it heareth him and knoweth what he doeth? Okay? Don't judge something before you hear it. Make sure you understand. Make sure you know. It says he knows what he doeth. Make sure you know what's going on before you make some judgments. Clarify with questions. Say, now, do you mean this? Or let me see if I understand you right. You're saying that this and this and this. Clarify it with some questions, and it'll help you to be an honest listener. So, when it comes to being honest, the first thing we need is honest listening. All right, let's say the key together. Ready? Be honest. The second one was keep current. Ready? Keep current. Attack the problem, not the person. Attack the problem, not the person. Act, don't react. Act, don't react. All right, be honest tonight. Let's have honest listening. Now, what about the other avenue of communication? Not only listening, but talking. Let's talk about honest speaking. A good definition for honesty that I used to teach to little kids, that I think is great for us grown-ups as well, honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. Honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. Now, with the little kids, here's what we used to do. We used to do little symbols. We did adding, you know, the plus sign, or subtracting anything. All right, so honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. All right, if you are a kid or a kid at heart, I want you to do the motions with me. I want everybody to try to say it with me, all right? Ready? Honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. All right, some of you kids didn't do the motions. Okay, try it again. Ready? Honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. All right, you'll remember that now. Honesty, telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. Sometimes a young person gets home and they say, hey, where were you after school? Well, I went over Joe's house. Okay, great. Joe's a good guy. I'm glad you went over Joe's house. But you also went over Ken's house. And you didn't tell anybody that you were going over to Ken's house. Guess what? You weren't honest. Because you told the truth, you went to Ken's house, but you subtracted something. You didn't tell that you also went to Joe's house. Or the other way around, sorry. So honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting. If you subtract something, then you haven't really told the truth, have you? Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Honesty means you can't subtract. Honesty means you can't add anything. The teacher comes back into the classroom and says, all right, what were you doing while I was out of the room? I was doing my work, teacher. And that's true, you were. But you were also talking to the guy next to you. Honesty is not subtracting anything. Honesty is not adding anything. Yeah, well, we went out soul winning. Well, great. I'm glad you went out. How many houses did you do? Well, we did probably at least 60 houses when you only did about 20, you know. Or we did three streets when you only did one. Okay, don't add something. It's not honest. Okay, honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 22. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. You know, that word abomination in the Bible is reserved for things that are absolutely terrible in God's eyes. Now, all sin is wicked, but there are certain things in the Bible that God calls an abomination. And one of those is lying lips. You know, if somebody's not honest and you find out about it, you get where you can't even trust that person. It makes it really rough. And I praise the Lord for some parents who are able to say, you know, my kids have done some things wrong, but as far as I know, they haven't lied to me yet. And if that's you, young person, preserve that, because that's precious. Don't let the devil get you to lie, because that's precious, the fact that somebody could say, as far as I know, they haven't lied yet. Now, I don't think it's wise for a parent to say, well, my kid never lies, because then you put them in a place of temptation where they think, oh, my parents are always going to believe me. They don't think I ever lie, so I could probably get away with it. I could tell a lie, and they wouldn't even think I ever lie. So don't say, my kid never lies. But praise the Lord if you could say, as far as I know, my son or my daughter has been honest with me to this point. And young people, if you have that, that's a treasure. You continue that with your folks. You be honest. Someone who lies to their employer. Now their employer has, if he finds out about it, he's got to watch out for you. He's never going to believe anything you say. Money comes up missing in the drawer at the end of the day. I didn't take it. He's going to accuse you because you were dishonest to him a couple weeks ago about something else. You see, honesty is a great treasure. And it takes a long time to build an honest reputation, but it only takes one fall to ruin it. So decide, I've got to be honest. I've got to be honest. And I'll tell you, we all get tempted to speak dishonestly, to add or to subtract. Even after I was in the ministry, as a youth pastor, I was at a conference one time, and there were a couple of camp directors there at the conference from the Christian camps, and we had gone to this one Christian camp before, and we had decided that we were going to switch and go to a different Christian camp. And usually for the Christian camps, you have to register really early. We just wanted to try something different, get a little bit of variety for the young people. And so here I registered. It was probably in August. It was August that I registered for the following summer at this other camp. Well, now I was at this conference, and I saw the director for the camp that we went to the summer before. And he said, "Hey, how you doing, Mark?" "Oh, fine. How you doing?" We said, "Hi." We were having a little talk. And he said, "Are you guys coming back to camp at our camp next summer?" And I was dishonest. I didn't say yes, but I subtracted from the truth. I said, "Well, we're not really sure yet what we're doing." And that wasn't true because I had already registered for the other camp. And I went away. I didn't enjoy the rest of the conference because I knew I had sinned. I had been dishonest. And I asked the Lord to forgive me right away. But you know how honesty is. When you ask the Lord to forgive you, that's not enough, is it? You got to go to the person that you were dishonest to. And it was a big conference. There was, hundreds of people there. I couldn't find the guy. But I knew that I was going up to where their camp was in a couple weeks. And I thought, I could call him on the phone. I could write him a letter. But I'm going to be a man about this. I'm going to see him face to face. And I asked the Lord's grace and mercy for a couple of weeks because I felt like the Lord wanted me to see him face to face. And I'll tell you, it was no big deal what I said, and probably no big deal to him, but it was a big deal to me. And it was a big deal to the Lord because I wasn't honest. And I remember a couple of days before going up there, I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to say it? And you're all nervous and everything. And I remember one of the hardest things I did was go into his office there when I got up to that area where the camp was. And going in and said, "Hey, Mark, how you doing? Sit down. Yeah, how you doing? Good to see you again." I said, "I got to tell you something." And I told him, "Hey, I was dishonest with you a couple weeks ago at the conference because you asked me if we were coming back and we had already registered to go to another camp. And I should have just told you that, but I just spoke dishonestly. And I asked the Lord to forgive me. I want you to forgive me too." And of course, he said, "Oh, no problem. Don't worry about it, But I got right with the Lord about it. And I had God's blessing on my life again. And there was a clean heart. Perhaps there's something where there's been dishonesty in the past. And yes, you ask the Lord to forgive you, and you need to. But that's not enough. You got to go to the person. Maybe you got to go to mom or dad. Maybe you're a grown-up and you got to call mom and dad on the phone and say, "I'm tired of thinking about this every time the preacher preaches on it. I got to let you know about something that happened." Maybe it's a long time ago, but you never got right. Now, if you got right about it, don't feel guilty now. That's false guilt. If you got right with the Lord and you got right with the person involved, then don't let the devil give you false guilt because the Lord forgives. And you don't have to worry about it anymore. But if there's some loose ends, if there's that test you cheated on, you got to get back with the teacher. If there's that object that you stole, you got to get back. You say, "Hey, I was dishonest. I took something that wasn't mine. I got to make restitution. I got to get back." Because honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. Let's be genuine with each other here at the church. Let's be honest and genuine with people. If people say, "Well, how you doing this morning?" You could say, "Well, I'm praising the Lord, but I am kind of hurting this morning." Okay? Let's be honest. Now, you don't have to go into a 20-minute laundry list of everything that's wrong, But you can say, hey, pray for me. I'm having a rough time today. Let's be honest. Okay, let's be honest with one another. Honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. You know, you could twist the truth by silence. It's possible to say nothing and thereby be dishonest. All right, who did that? Who spilled that thing? You know, I'm not saying a word, you know. I'm just going to stand here like a statue. I'm not saying a thing because I don't want to be dishonest and say not me. Well, you can be dishonest by silence as well. Okay, be a man or a woman and own up to it and say, hey, it was me. Be honest. Your honesty is so much more important than whatever the thing you're being dishonest or tempted to be dishonest about. And then the last point I'd like to balance this with is back in Ephesians 4. If you still have your finger there, go back. Our verse today was verse 25, but look up at verse number 15. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. One of the keys of speaking the truth is that we speak the truth in love. And some people might be tempted to go away from this message and say, well, that's the way I am, preacher. I'm just honest. I just tell it like it is. You know, if I don't like somebody, I just tell it like it is. I just say, I don't like you very much. And I'm just honest. Well, wait a minute. Speaking the truth in love. And there are some things that you can be an honest person. And I want to balance it. I said, you know, you can be dishonest by silence. But sometimes silence is appropriate. If the thing that you are thinking is not loving, then don't say it. Because we're supposed to speak the truth in love. If you can't say it in a kind way, then don't say it. You say, well, I just want to be honest with people. Well, wait a minute. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. And if you can't speak the truth in love, then it'd be better not to say anything. All right? Don't be one of these people that says, well, I'm just a gruff person. I mean, that's just kind of how I am. I just tell it like it is, and people get offended sometime, but that's just me. Now, wait a minute. That's not the kind of honesty we're looking for. Okay, speaking the truth in love. My old teachers used to tell me, is it kind, is it necessary, and is it true? Is it kind, and necessary, and true? You know, something might be true, doesn't have to be said. Okay? Well, you know, did you ever see her face? She looks like a turtle, you know. No, don't say that kind of stuff. It's not kind. All right? Might be true, but it's not kind, so don't say that. All right? Is it necessary? Is it going to be helpful to the situation? And then, is it true? Speaking the truth in love. Because honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. Say it with me. Honesty is telling the truth without adding or subtracting anything. And the first key to communication is be honest. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would work honesty in our hearts and lives, that we would be sensitive to the temptations that come our way. I know the illustration you had me give today from my own life was a time when I didn't have my guard up, Lord. I was perhaps too relaxed and just not ready for the temptation when it hit. And I sinned, Lord. I did the wrong thing. I pray that when we fall, when we fail, that we'll handle it your way. But Lord, would you keep us honest? Would you make honesty such an important premium in our hearts and minds that we will sacrifice even our reputation, if need be, in order to be honest? That we'll sacrifice maybe some financial things or maybe a promotion at work or anything like that, Lord, that we would sacrifice anything in order to obey you when it comes to being honest. And then, Lord, I pray that in our communication, whether at home with our husbands or wives, with our kids, with our parents, that we would be honest, that we would not hide the truth, that we would not be dishonest by our silence, but that we would indeed be honest with the people with whom we deal. Then, Lord, give us honesty in our places of work. May the people of Bethel Baptist Church be known as honest people. May we not in any way do something that would harm your testimony or cause people to think that we were dishonest in some way. Lord, may honesty be our trademark and do a work in our hearts and lives even tonight. with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Perhaps tonight the Lord's worked in your heart. Maybe it's an issue of the past that still needs to be dealt with. Or perhaps it's just a tendency that you want to ask the Lord to remove. Because whenever an issue comes up and you're trying to make yourself look good, your first thought is to say something that's not true. And you say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I want you to change me. Hey, the Lord can do something like that. Let me encourage you to respond in our invitation tonight. Just have a private time in the front row or at this old-fashioned altar. Just have a time between you and the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I want to be honest. Or perhaps you would make a covenant with the Lord and say, now, Lord, when I get home tonight, there's somebody I got to call on the phone. Or this week, there's somebody I've got to get back with about an issue of honesty that I've asked you to forgive me, God, but now I've got to make it right with that person. Before you leave tonight, make a covenant with the Lord to deal with that thing. And use this time of invitation to allow God to restore that honesty back into your heart. It'll be a wonderful thing. You'll never regret it. It'll be hard. It was hard for me to go to that camp director that day. It'll be hard. But you'll never regret it.